This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, June 15, 2022. The Votive Mass of the Holy Angels by Father William Doc Holliday.
Lo, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven.
The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable when I say, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Those words from the book of Daniel set the stage for what our Lord says to Nathanael in the New Testament. This is when Daniel has his vision of heaven, and he sees one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. You have to put yourself in the situation and not read into it when it says he sees the Ancient of Days seated and his robes were white. It does not mean that he saw God the Father in any type of a form or a substance when he is clothed with white, because we know from the scriptures that God is clothed with light. He is a spiritual being. And when Daniel says, and I saw one come like the Son of Man, he actually sees someone who looks like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven and be giving all these blessings by our Lord. This is the vision of Daniel. Daniel, in this entire vision, sees a pattern. He sees a pattern of covenant making and then covenant renewal. God has made a covenant with his people. And we, in our weakness, have a tremendous propensity to break the covenant. God never breaks a covenant. We are always the ones who break the covenant. And it will come to a point where after we break the covenant that God will correct us. And then there is always a restoration of the covenant. God does the, okay, you broke the covenant, so I'm going to break it too. You're done. Never, ever has God ever done that in his perfections. He will always keep his word. His word to us is the covenant that he has made. We have to appreciate this pattern because it is the pattern that we live today in his life. Covenant making, unfortunately, our covenant breaking, that God renewing the covenant. Again, this is a strong statement that Daniel sees, this vision that he has. He sees a vision regarding, again, the retribution, what happens when you break covenant with God. It's got a little inkling. And he saw streams of flame, fire, coming out from the throne of grace. And then we skip two verses, verses 11 and 12 of Daniel. And then we see it pick up into 13, where we start to see the blessings. Verses 11 and 12 are pointed. After he sees the flames coming out from the throne, he says, I beheld and I saw that the beast was slain, the body thereof destroyed and given to the fire to be burnt, that the power of the other beasts was taken away, and that the times of life were appointed for them. Basically, God looking at this saying, you are on borrowed time. You are not going to live forever. You are limited in your power, takes your power away and then limits their time of life after he destroys the beast. These are things that are going to happen in the future. The evil of this world that God is going to correct through his retribution. But then there's the blessings. As I said, we see this pattern. The blessings form an integral part of the structure of covenant making and covenant renewal. And what is a covenant? It's a promise. God has made promises. He gave Adam and Eve a garden so they could do anything that they wanted except one thing. That was the covenant. This is all yours. Take dominion over it. Adam and Eve, covenant breakers. God doesn't just start over. He searches them out in his grace. He finds them. He clothes them. And then they start over. And then things get bad again. People break the covenant again. And God floods the earth and destroys everything but eight souls and the animals on the ark. And then he renews the covenant. He even gives us a symbol of this, the rainbow. That's our symbol. Others hijack it. That is our symbol. It is a symbol that God will never again flood the world to its destruction. And then he makes covenants with Abraham, and who is the father of our faith. This is the covenant toward we look to, because our Lord says that through Abraham, all the world will be blessed. These blessings that come after his chastisement. Again, these blessings form an integral part of this covenant making and covenant renewal. This is where the gospel comes in to play this evening. Our Lord Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you. It's kind of interesting, a little footnote on that whole thing right there. The Gospel of John is the only time when we see that formula. Amen, amen, I say to you. Newer version says, truly, truly. The Gospel of John, amen, amen. This is a surety. Two times, I say to you, our Lord's making some very, very pointed pronouncements when he says that. 25 times it happens in John's gospel also. So very important when we hear that, amen, amen, I say to you. You shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Remember in the vision, Daniel has, he saw someone like the Son of Man. He didn't know who is this one that looks like a son of man that is coming in the winds of heaven and is given all these blessings, given all power and authority by the Ancient of Days. Who is that? He doesn't know. He's not introduced at that time, but we are introduced when our Lord becomes incarnate. He says, you shall see the heavens open and the angel of the God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He's referring to Genesis when Jacob saw the vision of the ladder. Jacob is asleep out of the desert, and he has this vision of a ladder and the angels of heaven ascending and descending up to heaven, down to earth on the ladder. Angels signify for us something. And we always appreciate them from, you know, them being our guardian angels and the archangels and the Annunciation and St. Michael's defense and all these kind of things. But the angels, generally speaking, the angels signify the meeting and the communication of God with man. This is what he was communicating to Jacob. You're just not seeing visions. You're just hearing voices from on high. Look, there are created beings ascending and descending on this ladder. I'm communicating with you through them. This is what the angels signify to Jacob. Jesus Christ takes that to the next level. When Daniel saw the Son of Man, and actually in the scriptures, it's lowercase Son of Man, it means Israel. It is a signification of one who is going to superintend God's chosen people for all eternity. When our Lord Jesus Christ, uppercase the Son of Man, comes, he also represents Israel, but Israel that is glorified. Israel that is the everlasting kingdom of God over whom he is head and will be for all eternity. The creed and to his kingdom there shall be no end. This is what our Lord is not implying, directly telling Nathanael. You will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of salvation. Jesus Christ is the personification of this pattern of covenant making and renewal. We cannot keep the covenant of God, but his Son could. His Son kept his will absolutely perfectly. He made a covenant with him. He did not break it as the first Adam did. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of salvation for us. He is the mediator in whom heaven and earth meet. This is why it's not about a ladder anymore. where angels, these created beings, ascend and descend up to hell. As much help as they were, as awesome as that sight was, I, the Son of Man, am the one upon whom the angels are going to ascend and descend. This is the connection between God and man anymore. Not angels, me. Me, the Lord of glory. This only mediator between God and man. The man Jesus Christ. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is presenting to Nathanael, using Genesis, using the words of Daniel, calling himself the Son of Man. It's his favorite title for himself. It's a favorite title of our Lord for himself. You know, he could have referred to himself as all kind of really cool things, right? You know, but no, the Son of Man, this called kenosis, his pouring out, his setting aside his deity and associating himself with us. It's kind of weird to understand how the eternal Son of God, the one that had always begotten from the Father from all eternity, you know, that has so much to glory and about his position in heaven, can think that the title Son of Man is his favorite. This shows how much God cares for us. This shows the charity of our Lord Jesus Christ, how much he associates himself with us. This is our salvation. Because we look to him as the one who keeps the covenant, because, again, we can't. You know, I said, we live what Abraham did. We live this cycle of covenant making and, unfortunately, breaking and then renewal. This is what the confessional is all about. We have this tendency to a lesser or greater extent, very regularly break covenant with God. That's called sin. Every time we sin, we break covenant with God. Because the covenant is here, if you do these things, you will be blessed. If you don't do them, it's not a matter of cursing you. It is a matter of if you don't do these things, you're living the way you want to live, and I'll show you how that works out for you. That is the curse. Okay, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying. So our Lord, who never leaves us nor forsake us, he is still present with us in the Eucharist. He is still present with us in his priesthood. This is why we can go in the confessional and renew the covenant every time we go in there. I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the covenant is renewed. So we live this pattern of covenant renewal and, unfortunately, periodic breaking of that covenant. This is the reality. But it's a reality that is personified in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just talk. This is not just philosophy. It is what he is. He is the one that is the embodiment of our salvation. This is the theology of redemption. God sends his Son to keep his will perfectly, one who perfectly keeps covenant, proving to us that he can, but then he applies that, keeping that covenant to us. Not at a one-time deal, like, when were you saved? When were you saved? Well, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, every time I go to the confessional, and then at the final judgment. This is the theology of redemption, covenant making and renewal. We have to do our part and try to keep covenant with God as much as we can. And as we deepen our relationship with him, it becomes easier and easier to do so. But we have to understand there's this whole ministry of men and angels. It's not going away. But, you know, we don't have this vision of a ladder. We have our Lord Jesus Christ upon whom the angels ascend and descend. And he's the one who sends them into our lives to guide and direct us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.